Hi there, I'm Emily Jacks, founder and director of Generation Us, where we believe in millennials. You are listening to the Purposely podcast, where we will be sharing some of the most amazing, inspirational stories of entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and educators, all geared towards you powering up in every aspect of your life. Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to introduce you to Anna Lee, who is a serial entrepreneur, speaker, author, as well as a passionate mindset and performance coach. She is a founder and director of several businesses, including Prosper Global Advisory and LeFac. Forget about explaining what that is, and I'll hand over to her. She's going to be sharing her story with us today.
Well, first of all, welcome everybody to the live and to the podcast. I'm really happy to be here, and thanks, Emily, for having me. Like Emily said, I am Anna, director of the Lee Facility Management and Prosper Global Advisory, as well as Anna Lee International. So over the past 8 years, I've helped hundreds of business owners and investors to build and protect their financial wealth, which ultimately create the life they never thought possible. And I've recently co-authored a book with some incredible business owners all around Australia to help uplift, inspire, and transform people's lives. So I'm happy to be here to share with you guys some knowledge, lessons, and a little bit of my stories too.
Amazing. I can't wait to delve into all of this. And I like to start off by hearing about the story behind the story. So where did it all start for you? Go right back to the start, because I feel like this is going to be quite an inspiring and interesting story of how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so I was born in Vietnam, a very small town in Vietnam, and my family moved to the bigger city when I was 6 years old. And going through school, I was bullied extensively for many years at school. And you'll get more of the story in the book, which I've shared really in details in the book. And I know that there are a lot of people that being bullied at school, and people just say, oh, you know, kids, and you know, you're going to school and you get bullied, come on. But for me, it was not stopped there. So it culminated into a sexual assault when I was 16. And so that was really tough period that I went through at the time. And now looking back, I am really thankful that that was all happening, because you probably heard of people change because of desperation or inspiration. And for me, I'm not saying that I'm a very, really strong or resilient person, or anything special, but I really grateful and thankful that out of those situations that happened, I decided to pick and choose and redesign my life by giving it a go to travel to Australia and started a new life and study. And now I'm proudly call Australia my home and being an Australian citizen.
Yeah.
So things happen in life, and we can choose how to we respond to it. There are so many different ways. There's no right or no wrong way to do it, but it's really depends on what you want to achieve in life, I guess. And I chose to travel to Australia at the age of 16 and study here, and now establish businesses and help people in Australia. And That's my stories from then to now.
Wow. So it sounds like you used that experience to really define what you wanted and what you didn't want, and it drove you forward. So You came here by yourself, so your parents were back in Vietnam?
That's right, and my parents are still in Vietnam. So I came here by myself, and it was a lot of uncertainty at the time when I was 16 and did not know a lot. But all I knew is that if I stay in the environment that that I was not supported to flourish and to become the best at who I can be, then I need to make a change. So I decided to ask for my dad to have the permission to travel and to change the environment.
Wow, it's very brave. So can you remember the specific moment when you decided that, just out of interest?
Yeah, no, I actually do. I remembered at the time I was doing great, year 11. I just started year 11 in Vietnam, and I was just walking around the school without any friends, and felt like, is this my life, you know, forever? Because I've changed so many different schools. Like when I was 16, I already studied at 8 different schools.
Wow.
No matter where I went, I all get treated kind of the same way. And I was really extremely not very confident and quite lonely at school. And I knew that something had to change, but at the time I didn't know what exactly. But I just thought that a new environment would be needed for me. And now looking back, and I have actually applied that lesson to my life now as well. You know, when things are not going the way that I feel like it should, I think that would have been better. A change of environment is always really a good way to refresh and to get new perspective and do things differently. Like, environment is incredibly important.
That's really interesting. I spoke to another guy called Morgan Nelson. I think it was earlier in the week. No, it was last week. Last week. And he was talking about the four pillars of success, and one was around your environment, and that is where you physically are, but also the people that you're hanging around. I've heard the saying that you're the sum of the five people that you hang around the most, and that's really important to surround yourself with positive people who have a positive influence on your life. So I totally get it. I think it's really good advice to be thinking about the environment that you're in. So fast forward to now, what are you doing now? I mean, you seem to be really active, actively talking about empowering women, and you've just released this book. So tell us why you decided to write a book.
Okay. That's a really good question. So, I really agree. I absolutely agree with your comment and about the previous speaker of the podcast. I absolutely believe in you are the average of five people you hang out with. So I constantly invest in myself and learning from other people who are much more successful than me. So how it come about, the book come about, is I was invited to co-author this book with some incredible business women around Australia, and we all share the same life philosophy, and you know, the purpose in life is you know, not only just about ourselves but also to help other people, and so that we can all become the best version that we can, and realize our potential. Because we all notice that there's so many women, there's so many people out there that's struggling, and there's nothing wrong with when you're struggling. It's actually a really good opportunity to achieve something great. Like I face bullying and sexual harassment early in my year, but that's helped me to achieve much more when I came to Australia. So see from those stories, and we want to help other people with the book. And in the book, you'll find that real life story that you can actually relate. It's not just about success that you can't never really reach, or it's just really out of your imagination. It's actually really, really real and raw, and we share really, you know, a lot of vulnerability to inspire people, and people can see that you know, there are people that understand their struggle, their pain, and they feel hurt, but then also they can find the lessons that can navigate and help them through their problem and achieve, you know, their personal success in their own way.
Amazing. It sounds like a really helpful tool for women that's quite relatable, because you know, the glass ceiling is still there. I spoke to another person on my podcast earlier on in the week, Tegan Dowler, and we were talking about the gender pay gap and unconscious bias and all these kinds of things. Do you feel that those things are still an issue in Australia, and have you ever experienced any of those things?
This question is, I actually thought about this earlier today, and I do recall one time when I was, you know, earlier on in my career, I was seeking advice from this gentleman, and he said, it's actually harder for female to network, because at the time I already started networking a lot and connecting with people and learning from people, and that's my passion. Obviously, it was not easy at the start, and it's, you know, you always feel awkward, and you have to get through all those ice-breaking moments. So I asked for those advice, and he said, yeah, it's actually harder for female to network. But after I've done a lot of that over the years, and I realized that if you as female, you think that we have something less to offer, or as a female, automatically it's harder for us, then you just created even more barrier for you to start anything. And then when I do a lot of those networking, and then later on I realized that is it hard or is it easy? It's really up to you, and it's all start with your mind.
Exactly.
And you can use your own personal everybody's unique. So you have something to offer very different from the other person. And I find that as a female, it just really depends on how you hold yourself and how you present yourself to other people, and the approach that you come across when you meet someone, or, you know, whether in networking or in business, then you will attract the people that in alignment with your vision, with your goals. I think that I don't want to have a view that as women it's harder to do things, but definitely women should support women and empower the other women to achieve great things.
I agree. I love it. I love networking, but I'm a extrovert. So anyway. So tell us about your early career, because I have been stalking you a little bit, and I did a bit of research. So you started off studying finance, is that correct? And then you've now kind of moved into a different space, into the coaching space. So just tell us about that part of your career history.
Sure. So I studied commerce, so major in accounting and economics, and I started off as an accountant, and by the age of 23, I became the partner of an accounting and financial planning firm.
Wow.
Yeah, so we helped a lot of business owners and investors to with their tax and financial advice, and to build their businesses and build their life, and I really enjoy that journey, and that I think that was really rewarding and fantastic. And then because I when I, to be really honest, when I became the partner of the firm, and Lai was really comfortable at the time, but there was something still missing inside of me. And it was really funny that I went and searched for the answer, and I thought maybe all I needed was a husband, and then my life would be complete, you know, like I've got a perfect job and I've got cars and house and investment properties, and there's nothing else I would want. Maybe I just need a husband. So I was really rushing to get a husband at the time, but that didn't go very well. And I'm really thankful that it did not, because that gave me a really good lesson too, is that as female or male, you don't need another person to complete you. Like, you are the only person who's responsible for your own happiness.
Great advice.
And when, yeah, so when there's someone else coming along, and you know, that might be your future partner, you're only responsible to love them, you know, to not for their happiness. So I learned that, and I'm so glad that that did not go well. And I went on and studied a lot about, you know, life and success and, you know, making money. We all try to do all the same thing, but even when you make a lot of money, what do you do? And, you know, why am I still feel like that? Like that? And that's why later on I realized that I was instead of chasing and pursuing happiness, what I really was looking for was fulfillment in life. And you can only achieve that by contribution to others and helping other people. And and that's when I had the mindset shift, you can call it the mindset shift. And from there, I just went on and learned a lot about mindset. And coaching also helped me a lot with that myself, and enabled me and providing me the tools and the knowledge to help other people, which I already done. And then when I coach other people, when I help other people, you know, whether through the book or coaching, it just gave me the feeling that I cannot buy, you know, money cannot buy that. It's just magical. So that's another, that's why I started Annaly International, which help other people with their performance and mindset in life. And, you know, you achieve good results or bad results, it's not depend on the economy, not depends on the pandemic or the virus, or not depend on other people. It's all that with your mind, it's all that with your mindset. There are some people that's really struggling during pandemic, and I really feel for them. But there are some people that are thriving, and why they thriving, and you know what they do differently. It the secret is it all starts with the mind.
Yep, I agree. You're talking my language. So, as a millennial, what are your values around business? Why did you decide to start your own business? It's obvious that you wanted to do something that had meaning and purpose, but what else? What else about being a business owner was attractive for you?
To be very honest with you, I grew up in a family where my dad is a businessman, so I don't know. Maybe I was just born in a family that's just the way it is. And when I was growing up and studying at university, it's never my goal to be working as an employee. That there's nothing wrong with working as an employee. But for me, I wanted to not only working in a role for myself, but also become an employer who I can provide jobs for other people, and having the ability to set direction and set goals and achieve it. And I don't know, it's I just passionate about entrepreneurship and businesses. Yeah. And I think in like looking at larger, in the bigger picture, things happen around the world because of business owners thinking outside the box, and they create some amazing service or products that that serve others. So yeah, that I think that's why I am passionate about what I do and yeah, entrepreneurship and business. For example, in one of our businesses is Prosper Global Advisory, which I really all my businesses really starting from me thinking, well, how can I help other people and doing that on a daily basis and just really enjoying it. So I help overseas business owners and investors to migrate to Australia to invest and to start business here, because it's a beautiful country and I've done it myself. And after helping hundreds of Australian business owners, which I still do, yeah, I wanted to help overseas as well. So
amazing. I love it. So looking back over your career, what would be your biggest achievement to date? Something like you're really proud of?
Business career.
Or just your life. It doesn't have to be anything to do with your career. Just looking back over your life, you've had a pretty full life for someone of your age, which I find really interesting with all the millennials I've spoken to. It's like your trajectory to success is fast-tracked. Like, that's why I think baby boomers dislike millennials so much, is because they had to wait until they were 60 or 70 to work out what their purpose was or to quit their job and start their own business. So, yeah, I'm always fascinated.
Thank you. I think there's another thing about our generation is that we impatient. So I agree that I admit that I am very impatient. And honestly, when I start doing business with someone and they say, oh, it takes time, I'm like, oh, okay, let's see how much time we take here, because I like to take, you know, massive and immediate action. Like my a mentor of mine always remind us that, like you need to start with mindset and then you just need to take massive and immediate action. It's, I think millennials, we just try, you know, we just give it a go. Like, and then we fail, then we learn. So if we succeed, that's great. We keep going. But if we fail, then you learn the lesson, then why wouldn't we taking action? And you know what I mean? So
I love it. So yeah. We've got a few questions here from people who are watching. Hi, Luke. So Luke would like to know if you've been coached and mentored by anyone in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been coached and mentored by a number of people. And I honestly believe that even the best coach and mentors in the world need to have mentors, because we as a human being, we are so into ourselves that we can't see different perspective. And we as a human being have so much to offer and so much power, but sometimes we are the biggest weakness because we can't see outside ourselves. Yeah. So I have Aaron Sansoni is my current mentor at the moment. So he's a philanthropist and a serial entrepreneur, and I think he's worth about $46 million. And he's actually living right in Melbourne here. And his story really, really resonate with me. And he's been helping me tremendously over the past couple of years or so. And I also Aaron Sansoni.
How do you spell his last name? Sansoni.
Yeah, so S-A-N-S-O-S-I.
Oh, hang on. S-A-N-S-O.
S-O-N-I.
Sansoni.
N-I.
Oh, there we go. All right. I'm going to put it in the so everyone can see it. But
so it's my mentor, and my coach is Andrew Elias. I can type in a comment later.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Yep, amazing. Yep. So Luke also has another question for you. So what are your thoughts around mentorship?
Mentorship. So a lot of people are asking me and get confused between coaching and mentoring. Mm. My understanding of coaching and mentoring, the difference is that the mentor is the person who have been there, done that, and achieved great results, that have a wealth of knowledge, and we can call wisdom. Wisdom is when knowledge that's been implemented and extracted after already having results and being taught to the mentee, and then also coach the mentee so that they can achieve the same results and helping them along the way and helping them remove roadblocks and achieve success. So that's a mentor. The coach is a person who more focusing on around rearrange and bring about resources that person already have, but with blockages that prevent them from achieving the results. And like I said, we all having most of us has the answer to our problems already, but because we inside ourselves and we can't really think outside the box, and it's difficult. So having the coach is, I think I will probably have coach for the rest of my life. That's one of the highest return on the investment that I can possibly do, because the person that helped you through even just things in life or business or career, it all starts with the mind, and having someone there to you can share with and without any judgment, because a professional coach, we're going through a lot of training and understanding to help other people in a way that's really non-judgmental, and people can really trust and share their issues and that we can help them with. So, and I think it's really rewarding, going back to, why I start business and going on this journey and start coaching, is because it's not really about money. Like, I already made a lot of money when I was younger, so really about giving back, then that's just magical.
Amazing. I love it. It's really good advice. I think that when you're in business or just in life, it's so important to have somebody to speak to. And I've always had a coach. And when I got my first coach, my business pretty much quadrupled overnight. Like, it was just amazing, the results that I got. And one of the coaches I recently worked with has a great saying that that ideas are like children. We like our own the best. And that, for me, just sums up the whole philosophy of coaching, because you can tell somebody the answer to their problem and tell them what to do, but at the end of the day, unless it's their own idea and they take ownership, they're actually not going to do it. And so I love everything that you've just said. It's really, really important. So let's move into now you giving some advice for any budding entrepreneurs out there in terms of business. What would be your top three pieces of advice or strategies for success if you are starting a business or if you're a business owner?
Top three advice. I think number one advice is listening to podcasts like this one. So I just want to take the opportunity to say thanks, Emily. Thank you again for starting this podcast. And me, I see this as a valuable and way that, and the admirable way that you're giving back to people, because resources like this is so valuable. I listen to podcasts and all your book a lot, because nowadays we're getting so busy, but constantly educating yourself and get new ideas. And implementing it is just number one thing that you've got to do. Yeah, so that's number one. Number two is I would say get a coach, because we just talk about it. It's like we have brilliant ideas, and you know, it's mean nothing unless you remove the roadblock, whether it's about your mindset or, and most of the time it's about your mindset. It's not really about resources, but it's about, it's something that's really holding you back, and most of the time it's actually just fear, insecurity, and you know, the fear of the unknown and fear of a lot of things. And once you have that clear out, then you can have the power to take action and achieve results. And then the last tip is just really just love yourself, really.
Yeah.
And that's so important, like, because any great leader all start with self-leadership. Yeah. Is number one thing. And if you're not loving yourself, you'll get to a point where you try to do a lot of things, but yourself has to be strong and stable to be able to take any challenges come your way, to be able to achieve the ultimate success. So love yourself, and let it go, like, you know, the things that you've done wrong or things you can improve, take note of that and take action, instead of a lot of people take too much time to blame yourself and feel guilty, and the shame and the guilt. That's really something that if you look deep inside and you actually take time to reflect, most of us feel that, and I think that save your soul a lot of time and headaches. Love yourself more.
I love it. You're talking my language. So it sounds like the first tip was around educating yourself and that thirst for ongoing learning, and that's something I definitely see with millennials. Second of all was, oh my God, now I've got a mental blank. It was, the third was about self-love, and second was, oh, get a coach. So yeah, love it. So we've got another question from Jim. He said, with all the noise that commonly enters life, how do you discern the areas you should actually focus on to ensure you achieve the things you want to achieve?
That's a fantastic question, Jim, and thanks for your question. It's funny, when I was a rookie, I literally remember the moment I typing on Google, how to make decisions. That was really general, and I would have no idea, you know, like, how do you expect a search engine to tell you such a deep answer? But I thought, I don't have anyone to ask. So I asked Google, right? So I type in, and I did some research, and I'm like, oh, it's not helpful. it's like, oh no, it's not. It doesn't answer me, and I was really impatient. So I was like, this is no good. So over so many programs, so many courses, and through coaching, I learned that make decision to focus on the right thing. You need to have a, like, we have really massive, powerful subconscious mind, and if you know how to tap into that, that is the highest quality of decision making and focus that you can possibly find, because most of us, our conscious mind help us growing, like keep us going and helping us with a lot. But the subconscious mind is the one that giving us all the initiative and the ideas and the creativity and the decision. Sometimes it's like the, when people are saying listen to your gut. That's really also it same as listening to your subconscious mind. So for myself, what I do is I take a moment every morning and every night to just do gratitude journal and just realign my focus to gratitude. what I've achieved and what other people that helped me, and I really fully recognize that. And not focusing on the trouble or on the problems or on the issue or on the thing that I have to do, because that would be a million things, right? So yeah. I realign my mind and my focus to gratitude and also spirituality. You know, you find peace and balance in yourself. That's when you have the clarity of the mind that you can make the right decision. I know that, you know, there's, you know, whether you believe in Christianity or Buddhism or any other religion, that you find yourself at peace, that's really important. So inner peace and balance. Once you have that, you can have the clarity to make decisions.
I love it. It's so important to listen to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right for a reason. I 100% believe in that. And also you touched on something that I'm really fascinated with, because I've interviewed about 100 millennials and I'm writing a book called The Millennial Mindset. And all of this mindset stuff is just, you're talking my language. And I think I say that every time I do this podcast, but anyway, tick. So what I've noticed is that a lot of millennials have a really structured daily routine. And I think there's a lot to learn from that, because everyone I speak to, they tell me one little thing that they do and I go, oh, I love that. So what's your daily routine?
Okay. So my daily routine is changed. So it's not like it's not perfectly the same for last year to this year. So for example, and I make adjustments to it. But I would say this, I'm talking right now, is one thing, like I said, it's gratitude journaling. So yeah, I've heard about it so much, seriously. And honestly, this is something that I just started doing maybe a couple of months ago, and I find it amazing, because yeah, it doesn't take so much time. It's typically 30 seconds, and that's the whole point. The whole point is not overthinking about anything. It's about writing down, and this is have a powerful effect to your subconscious mind. So when you write, and it's involved, when you learn about coaching, you understand that when you write it down, you have to think in your mind first. So you involve, that's like self-talk. And you write it down, that's kinesthetic. And then you read the words, you just write again, so that's for auditory. And visual, you're looking at it. So it's your full body really focusing on one thing. And that's gratitude. And that's providing so much power and clarity, like I've just mentioned. So in the morning, I write down one thing that I will let go of. Most of the time, I would let go of my fear and my insecurity, and just recognize that we all have fears and insecurity, and it's okay. But I consciously let go of that. So throughout the day, if anything that's coming up that's tapping into my, you know, or is that me insecure, or is that something wrong with that person that reacting or saying something? So that is just so powerful. So let go of one, all of that, and then write down three things that I'm grateful of. And it just can be anything. It can be the simplest thing, is that I woke up this morning, or I'm grateful for clean water, or I'm grateful for having a shelter. It's a rainy day outside. Anything comes to mind. Yeah. And then the last four things that we'll write down on the bottom of the page would be, what am I focusing on? And just really quickly. So most of the time I would, recently I've been writing serving, empowering belief, positive thoughts, and then productivity. So I want to get a lot of things done, productively during the day. So, and then at night I would write a few more things and I'll go to bed. So at the moment, that would be really honest answer with you, is that's the only one thing that I have it in routine. I do it day in, day out. Yeah.
Amazing. Do you get up at the same time every day?
No, not at the moment. Very honest.
Okay. That's interesting. Interesting. Yeah. And we have another question. So Jin's got another question for you. So how do you find the right coach? And what do you do if you are with a coach that isn't working for you? And that's a really good question, because I've had a situation where, I'd love to hear what you think.
That's another really great question. Thank you, Jim. I believe that, so how do you find the right coach? So So earlier this year, I changed my coach to Andrew, and he's been phenomenal. So when you find the right coach, like within 15 minutes, some problems that bother you for weeks, you just unravel it in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think with the right coach, it's the person. First of all, you have to trust that person to give you results. So I think you need to personally trust that person and have the confidence in the person that can help you resolve. Because again, it's all start with the mind. If you think that the person is not like you and not understanding you, then yeah, no matter what they say or how they try to help you, it's not going to lead to the right good result. So the right coach is the person that you think that you can relate to, and they can, you feel like they understand you.
Yeah.
And I think that would be one of the most important things. And if you're with a coach and you think it's not working, I definitely say change coach. So find someone else that you think that would be a better fit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. He's just asked for my opinion on that as well. So I would totally agree. I think coaching is such a personal relationship. And if you want to be coached by someone, they need to, I would say, have experience and have experience coaching people in your kind of area and be able to relate to you. And it should be enjoyable. Like when you meet up with them, you should be looking forward to it, number one. And you should walk away feeling really positive and energized. You shouldn't walk away feeling deflated and annoyed. So, yeah, if you're working with a coach that's making you feel the latter, then perhaps it's time to part ways. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think that I've had a number of coaches along my 10-year business journey. And the coach that the very first coach that I had, you kind of get to the point where in your relationship, you've learned all that you can from that person because every coach is going to bring to you something different, a different perspective, a different style. Like I've been coached from people who are NLP trained and then coached from other people who've just got different coaching philosophies. So I think it's, and then mentors are really important too, learning from someone who's walked in your shoes and been successful, who's got to the 46 million. So that would be my answer. So just to wrap up, Anna, what would be your parting piece of advice for any young millennials out there who are thinking about starting a business?
It's really simple. You should just start.
Just start.
Just start, because
Exactly.
lots of us have ideas. And actually, this is not just me. We all watch Netflix, right? And last year, I've got a chance to hang out with the co-founder of Netflix. Oh, I just have a mental blank. I forgot his name. And he got some really, he published a book. It's called It Will Never Work. So basically, if you talk about, so Netflix started off with as a really average idea at the time. And look at now, it's a massive success. It's a global success. Nobody n not knowing about Netflix. And he said that it's not about the ideas. It's not, it's not about one great ideas. And average ideas, you have to brainstorm with a lot of ideas. So just start and try and see how you go, and just overcome things, challenges, and it's really working it towards, to the level of success you want to achieve. So for me, actually, with this question, I it came to my mind with one piece of advice I have to say, is that why I like entrepreneurial so much is that we're not accepting no as the answer, basically. Even say the rule saying this, and I'm not saying breaking the law, but we're not breaking the law, but like we're trying, always trying to find a way to make things work. And that's why I said, if you're thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, thinking about starting business, just really start. Like, there's no, you need to do it before you are 100% ready. And that's how you achieve success. Like, I became a partner of an accounting firm at the age of 23 because I was just giving so much value, and I just acting like one before I became like one. I helping other people, even though I was a junior position, but I help other people and learn from other people and lead other people from where I were, not when I already become a leader. So yeah, that would be my advice.
Great advice. Just I don't like this saying fake it till you make it, but it's kind of like what you have to do. You just have to take the leap and give it a crack, and that's what I love about millennials. Now we've got one more question from Jim before I let you go. So he said, how do you define if you're not getting along with the coach, or if you just don't feel comfortable with the areas that they're pushing you to get into, especially where it's for your own good?
Yeah, that's a very good question. This is something that so when we get coached, we all want to change something, or we all want to achieve a result. And sometimes the result that we want to achieve is not that functional, and the coach guide you through the process to help you achieve something that more functional in life. I'm not talking about right or wrong, because there's so many different ways to do things, right? Now, when you say that if you have a coach and that person is, you feel like it's not getting to where you want it to be, maybe sometimes you have to sit down and really think, really be honest with yourself and thinking, am I resisting something that within inside of me that I'm not letting go so that I can achieve the results? Or you have to be really, really honest with yourself. And so if you think that you really already try to push and get to the comfort zone and to achieve great things, then maybe it's not working out with the coach, I think. And as simple as when I say not getting along is that, as you know, maybe some person speak faster than other. And for me, if my coach speak like this for an hour and a half, then I'm not going to be able to, So yeah. It's simple. It's just that, really. So that's more about, you know, getting along with your coach. And
That's great advice. And I would agree. I think that you need to feel comfortable and you need to be a match. It's kind of like a marriage in a way. And I've always felt when I'm breaking up with a coach that I'm literally breaking up with a boyfriend or a relationship, like a serious relationship, because you tell your coach things, or I do, that I've never told anyone before. Like, you really open up to them. And if it's not feeling comfortable, or if they're pushing you into places that you're not willing to go, then I think that's twofold. Sometimes I think that there's certain areas that we're not willing to be coached in, and they might be our hot spots or triggers. But then sometimes the coach might be picking up or trying to push you down certain paths that you're not interested in, which is, that's a bit of a challenge too. But thanks for your great questions, Jim, and he's given us some feedback that he loves the podcast, so that's really cool.
Fantastic.
I could talk to you all day, Anna. You're amazing. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. So if people want to find you and find your amazing book, where do they look?
Thank you so much for having me, Emily. And I really enjoy this conversation. And, I really believe that these types of quality conversation is the type of conversation that we should have more, you know, not only on the podcast, but in our daily life. And hopefully we can inspire more people doing the same things. And so thank you for having me. I would love to connect with all of you through my website. It's www.emilyjacks.com. annalee.com.au. Anna Lee, which is one E, and you can find all information about my book, and you can actually pre-order a copy of the book right now, and I would love to send you a signed copy of my book and all other information on my website.
Thank you so much, Anna, and thank you to everybody who's watched today, and we can't wait for this to go live. I'm Emily Jacks. Thanks for listening to the Purposely podcast. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to leave us a review, and see you all next time.